We have an impromptu now on WFMT, and these are presented in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, the Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous gifts from members of the WFMT Fine Arts Circle. Today, we have with us, and we are very pleased to welcome back, violinist Rachel Barton Pine for this live impromptu. Rachel has just released a 2-CD set on the Avi label celebrating Niccolo Paganini, who's been sometimes referred to as the first rock star. His performances thrilled the audiences of his day, the late 1700s, the first half of the 1800s. His music, when well performed, still does so, as you are about to hear. Rachel has performed and studied this music for a good portion of her life and has been honored repeatedly for her efforts, and we're going to hear why. She's going to begin with two pieces. First, we'll hear the most famous of the Paganini caprices, number 24 in A minor, which Rachel has been playing since she was 10. And then she's going to play the Duo Merveille, or Duet for One, opus 6, which makes full use of the violin's capacity to sound as if it can multiply itself. You'll swear you're hearing a violinist and a guitarist in this case, but it's all Rachel's technique and musicality. Here is Rachel Barton Pine and Paganini.
Thank you.
Two pieces by Niccolo Paganini, played by Rachel Barton Pine. First, the famous Caprice in A minor, opus 1, number 24. And then the duet for one. And a fascinating piece that is, especially the way you play it. It really does sound like a guitar and a violin together somehow.
Yeah, I actually had always known of its existence, but I never practiced it until it was time to make the album, and I realized I had room for some bonus tracks, and it turned out to be harder than any of the Caprices.
Wow. Well,
probably why I hardly ever hear it.
Well, you know, speaking of it being hard, it doesn't sound hard when you play it.
Well, it's so charming, and I was really lucky to have some coachings with a wonderful Italian opera conductor who lives right here in Chicago, Tony Baresi, and he really clued me in about, you know, a lot of the phrasing and the inflections and the timing and, you know, really giving it that flavor of Paganini's contemporaries like Bellini and Verdi and Donizetti and Rossini.
And, you know, one of the things I love about you, Rachel, is the way you research what you do, no matter what the music is. And in this case, you make definite references all the time to the bel canto tradition, which is about beautiful singing. And it really is about making that violin sing like the human voice. And the fact that you have, you know, consulted with, you know, your voice coaches to get the authenticity is just wonderful.
Yeah, well, it's lucky to have those resources, and I'm also lucky that the voice that I'm actually using to play on my life companion since 2002 is this, of course, 1742 Guarneri del Gesù.
Which has a direct link to Paganini, right?
Well,
or close?
Its history is actually with Brahms. Selected it for one of his proteges, but the cool thing is it's the exact same year and the exact same maker as Paganini's violin, so it's basically as close as you can get to Paganini's violin. Because they're direct siblings.
Right. Well, I do remember that one of the very first things that you did for us here at WFMT, when I just started hosting live from WFMT on Monday nights, were the complete Paganini Caprices. And you just launched into it, and I didn't say a word. It just went from beginning to end, and it was just magnificent.
Oh, thank you.
So
back in the day.
These pieces have been a part of you all your life, and Can you talk about that and how important they've been?
Well, I think that's true for many violinists. Yeah. I mean, I grew up from the age of six listening to Itzhak Perlman's album. It was my mother's last resort bribe at bedtime when I didn't want to go to sleep. She'd say, if you'll lie down and close your eyes and be a good girl, I'll put on your Paganini record. But I was fascinated not only by the amazing things that one could do physically on the violin, but just by all the tone colors and characters that the violin could create through these techniques. And it was just so amazing that one single little violin could have so much variety of sound and of personality throughout this cycle. And I dreamed of one day playing them myself. And then, of course, once I had studied them all individually between the ages of 10 and 13, I was thinking of sort of the next personal challenge. I knew that a handful of people in history had played all 24 in a single concert, like Gidon Kremer and Ruggiero Ricci. So I kind of wondered whether I might be able to do that and worked myself up to that point. But I'm glad I did, because actually it kind of took my relationship with the music to the next level. Because one of the things I've found with playing cycles, whether it's the six Bachs or the five Mozarts or whatever it might be, is if you're playing each piece in the context of its fellows, not only is it an amazing journey for the audience to hear this whole set of a composer's repertoire, but it actually forces you as an interpreter to go deeper, because you can't just make that one piece sound like, you know, that composer and a nice interpretation, because if you do that for every piece, they all sound the same. So you have to really define each piece's uniqueness and individuality more clearly than you would if you weren't playing the whole set. So I feel like I've discovered more about the Caprices by playing them all at the same time.
Right. Well, we can't hear the whole set tonight, or this afternoon, but we can hear three more now.
All right.
And we're going to hear the Caprice in A major, opus 1, number 21, then the Caprice in G minor, opus 1, number 16, and then the Caprice in D major, opus 1, number 20.
I have to say that number 21 is subtitled Amoroso and sounds like an aria.
Okay.
And, of course, number 20 has that drone, and it kind of makes you think about Paganini's trips to Scotland.
Okay. Thank you. Rachel Barton Pine, and more music by Niccolo Paganini from the Caprices. First, we heard in that set, A major, opus 1, number 21, and the Caprice in G minor, opus 1, number 16, and finally, the Caprice in D major, opus 1, number 20. Rachel Barton Pine has a new CD out on the AV label. Actually, it's two CDs. It's called Bel Canto Paganini, 24 Caprices and Other Works for Solo Violin. This is a live impromptu. We should also mention that there will be a podcast of this shortly after the broadcast, and also, even quicker after the broadcast, there will be a Facebook Live event with Rachel, which he has graciously consented to do for us. But I mentioned earlier that, you know, she's devoted a good portion of her life studying these pieces, and you might say that this two CD set is a lifetime of work, you know, boiled down into two CDs on this release, a lot of great work, and it's really quite wonderful to listen to. You are so committed to this music that you actually did all the repeats, and that dictated a two CD set, I guess, instead of one CD on which they usually fit. But that gave you room to do some other good things as well. Why don't you tell us about that?
Exactly. Well, it suddenly struck me that I think there are a couple of reasons people don't tend to do all the repeats on Paganini. One is to make sure that the 24 caprices squeeze onto one CD,
right.
But also because, you know, it's a lot of extra work to play it, even make it even longer.
Yeah.
But I thought to myself, you know, if Paganini were any other serious composer, we would take more seriously and respectfully the repeats that he indicates. And he's very specific. He doesn't just do it for convention's sake, because sometimes he says AAB, sometimes he says AABB. So the fact that it's not consistent means that he must have meant it when he said it.
Right.
And so I thought, well, the onus is on me as an interpreter to hopefully make it interesting enough that it can sustain a second hearing of the B section or the A section or whatever it is. And so I decided to do it that way because, you know, on a CD you don't have to worry about stamina like a live concert. And it really gave, so there's some eye-opening things. Number four becomes 11 minutes long, but it's so gorgeous you don't mind.
Right.
And the proportions between the caprices become different, and it's just really fascinating. But yeah, as you said, that made it spill over to a second disc, so masochistically I was like, well, let's add some more Paganini.
And you also added a piece of your own.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, you know, I've always been very inspired by Paganini's God Save the Queen variations, mm-hmm. That he wrote on the British National Anthem. And, you know, just his treatment of that simple melody into some wild variations. And, of course, he did this with many, many different melodies, like the Nel Corpino Mi Sento aria that's on my disc. But when I had my first tour of New Zealand in 2000, I was so overwhelmed by the beautiful landscape and the cute kiwi birds and the friendly people. And I just really wanted to do something for the final concert of the tour as a tribute to that country. But, of course, Paganini and Vietam and Ernst and all those guys, New Zealand didn't exist when they were alive, at least, and not as New Zealand. So I realized, well, I'd better do the job. So I took the New Zealand national anthem, which is actually a lovely tune when it's not being, you know, yelled out at rugby games. So I made some variations. But the fun thing is, as you heard in the duet for one, Paganini always has the bowed voice play the melody and pluck an accompaniment. And his colleague Ernst, Ernst was known as Paganini's successor because he tried to write even crazier stuff. And he had done this famous variations on the old Irish air, The Last Rose of Summer, where he plucks the melody and bows a descant, arpeggiated kind of crazy thing. So my husband, bless his heart, said, well, why don't you have the bow and the pizzicato both do the melody in canon?
Easy
and I
for
said,
him
oh,
to say.
That'll never work. And then actually it did, so I was stuck for it. But it's super cool. And the funny thing is when I play this piece, sometimes different New Zealanders will say that it makes them think of the North and South Islands or the British and Maori people or something like that. So it's really just bowing and plucking, but whatever you want to think it is, it is.
All right. Well, let's hear it. This is the introduction, theme, and variations by Rachel Barton Pine on God Defend New Zealand. The original work was written in the 1870s with lyrics by Thomas Bracken and music by John Joseph Woods. Rachel Barton Pine's introduction, theme, and variations on God Defend New Zealand. And that concludes our live impromptu with violinist Rachel Barton Pine this afternoon. Her new double CD is on the Avi label, and it's titled Bel Canto Paganini, 24 Caprices and Other Works for Solo Violin. And if you'd like more information about Rachel, we suggest going to her website, which is www.rachelbartonpine.com. That's spelled RachelBartonPine, one word, .com. And our thanks go to Rachel for being with us this afternoon and for her beautiful performances of this wonderful music. Our thanks also to music producer Mary Mazurek and impromptu producer Louise Frank. And finally, a heartfelt thank you to our very attentive and enthusiastic audience, all dedicated supporters of WFMT. A reminder, there will be a Facebook Live presentation with Rachel coming up very soon. And this program will be podcast at our website, WFMT.com. I'm Kerry Frumkin. This impromptu on WFMT was supported in part by a grant from the Elizabeth F. Cheney Foundation, a Chicago-based philanthropy dedicated to arts and culture, and by generous gifts from members of the WFMT Fine Arts Circle. And if you enjoyed this live performance, please become a sustaining member today. Ongoing monthly contributions are one of the most effective ways to support the station. Become a sustaining member now by pledging online at WFMT.com.